Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
We're continuing our series, which is called Small Things, Big Difference. Everybody say, small things, big difference. Now, we've been basing everything on this passage here. For those of you who aren't familiar with this passage from the Bible, this is one of the four Gospels, Matthew being the first. Matthew wrote this particular Gospel coming from a Hebrew background and writes it to primarily a Hebrew Christian audience. And so a lot of the way he writes, he's addressing those who come from that sort of religious background. And these are the final three verses that are found in his writing. And so how many of you know the last words of anybody are important? And so, you know, you've heard me, those of you who've been around, have heard me speak on the importance of listening to somebody's last words. So these are the most important words, well, the last words of the most important person to ever walk this planet, Jesus Christ. So how many of you know, if it's the last words of the most important person to ever walk the planet, then we need to take notice, okay? So in this church, you'll hear this passage of scripture come up from time to time. And this is what we call the Great Commission. There are other versions in the other Gospels, including Acts, the book of Acts, which is the part two, so to speak, of the book of Luke. But we're going to go with Matthew's as the Great Commission. And it says here, and Jesus came and said to them being his disciples, he says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. So for the last 3 weeks, this being the third, we've gone through this passage and just breaking it down. The first session we talked about making disciples of all nations. It's interesting in the Greek that the word is ethnos, which obviously we get the word ethnic from when it talks about nations. And it's not talking about, obviously in the modern world we think about nations being countries, which is only partially true of the scripture. It's actually people groups. People groups. So when you talk about making disciples of every nation, what God is wanting us to do is to go beyond just country borders, but go beyond the borders where we feel safe around people groups that are like us or act like us, and go to other people groups. For instance, the knitting people need to be okay with hanging out with the skaters. Okay? The R&B people need to be okay with the country and western people. The Maroons need to be okay with the people from Townsville. With the Blues, we need to be okay. Well, we are okay because maroon is the color of the blood of Jesus Christ, which sets us free, sanctifies us so that we can walk in harmony with the Blues. Somebody needs to reach them, and it will be us, the Maroons, right? And so anyway, we're called to make disciples of all nations. God wants to tear down every barrier that would cause us to break through, not break through in reaching other cultures. And so we talked about what consists of a culture in the first week. We talked about your beliefs will determine your values, what you value, and then your values will determine your practices, the outworkings of how things work in your life. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 4 that you're to guard your heart with all diligence, because out of the heart flows the issues of life. The way you live your life will be determined by what your beliefs are in your heart. So that was the first week. The second week, we started talking about the go, therefore. So all authority lies with him, meaning we don't have any authority. If we trust in his authority, it prompts us to go. And we ended by talking about this. This was the statement that we wanted to emphasize. You can't go until you've come. For instance, my brother John Ali is running the sound. I can't tell him, hey, go run the sound, please, brother John, because he's already there. He can't go unless he's with me. So go. You know what I'm saying? So you have to come, be empowered by the Holy Spirit, and then go. You can check this all out on the podcast for those of you who may need a bit more of an expansion on that. But I just wanted to give you a bit of background before we get into what we want to talk about today. And today, my message is called "Who You With?" Everybody say "Who You With?" And do your hands like this when you say "Who You With?" Turn to your neighbor and tell him "Who You With?" And tell your neighbor who said that to you, "I'm with you, sucker." Oh, no, you got to be encouraging. "I'm with you, champ." Who are you with? Who are you with? I'm going to go back to this verse here. Actually, let me go this way. These are the final five words in the Great Commission, which are often overlooked. When I've heard people teach on the Great Commission, they often skip the most important part, which is the fact that He is with you always. There is no power in making disciples unless you know the one that you're with. We like you ask Christians, what's the Great Commission? And those who have been Christians for, you know, more than 5 minutes and know the Great Commission will tell you, oh yeah, it's the part where it talks about going and make disciples of every nation. And that's about it. They don't talk about the part where the God factor, like God is the one that not just helps you, but there's no point in making disciples unless you realize who you with. So we're going to pray to the one that we're with. Lord God, You are the one we are with. In fact, we are the ones who are with You. And we just want to take a moment just to stand in the midst of the beauty of Your holiness, just to address You as who You are. Lord, I mean, I could go on and on and on just to talk about how awesome You are, how magnificent You are, how intricately detailed Your creation is, and how immense Your love is for us. Lord, let us not go another moment. Awaken in us just an awareness of the one that we're with and the one that is with us, the one who will never leave us, never forsake us. We pray that we would hear directly from You in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. For those of you who don't know who I am, by the way, if you're visiting here, my name is Nelly. I'm the pastor here, and so good to have you with us if you're visiting. So good to have you with us if you're visiting. So let's expand on this a little bit more by asking the question, who is with you always? Now, God says, I am with you always. So often at times we would say, yeah, I know, God is with me. But have you actually taken time? Have you actually taken portions of your day to understand who is with you? Like, who is with you? God, yeah, God. But like, who is God? Have you actually taken moments to understand how awesome He is? See, there's problems with that word awesome, because we use that word awesome to describe pizza or the Broncos sometimes. We use words that describe other things to describe this, the vastness of this God, the magnificence of this God, the utter holiness of this God, without realizing that there are no words within our vocabulary that can fully describe how great He is. Even that word great, I hesitate to use it because we use that for other things. Like, have you actually taken moments to think about who you're with or who is with you? The study of God is called theology. And I'm not just talking about book stuff, but actually to take time and study Him. You know, in premarital counseling, one of the things that we teach couples that are being prepared to get married is to study your spouse. Look at her. Study her. Study what she likes. Study what she dislikes. study the way she does certain things. Now, with another human being, you can go on for the rest of your life studying that person. Now, I'm not going to say anything about the gender differences in the studying, because some of you men are looking at me, yeah, right, mate, I'm still studying my wife. She keeps changing every day. And that's between you and your wife. I'm not going to get in trouble. But that's with a human being. Have you thought about doing that with God? Or are we so busy with our lives that we don't put life on pause for a moment to gaze upon how beautiful our God is? See, that's the problem. I can't find a word. Like I say, God is beautiful, but then there's songs about beautiful, describing their significant others. You're beautiful no matter what they say. You're beautiful, it's true. You know, like, so you're thinking about those, and they kind of dumb down the definition of the word beautiful, because only God is beautiful. Or there's, you know, like words like great, they get blown and underwhelming when they're used to describe other things. Have you taken a moment? When's the last time you actually went on top of Mount Kuta, or on top of Tambourine Mountain, or Mount Gravatt? I was calling it Gravatt for the longest time. Mount Gravatt is just around the corner from my house. And from time to time, you know, I'll drive up there with my kids, let them play on the playground. I'll just look at Brisbane and just think, man, God, you're beautiful, you're awesome. And again, I'm like, oh, there goes those words again. Just don't describe how awesome you are. Like, that God is with you. Because when you take time to look at the vastness of his creation, you know, with our men's group, we were just looking at how vast his creation is. Do you realize our planet, one of the smallest in our solar system. Our solar system is one of the smallest in the Milky Way galaxy. Our Milky Way galaxy is one of the smallest galaxies in the vastness of 300 trillion. Not million, not billion, trillion galaxies. And those are the galaxies we know about. There are still other galaxies to be discovered. Have you ever taken time to think about that? And you're worried about your bills? That's your God. If that's your God, you know, Psalm 8 says that he flung the stars out of his hand. His hand is bigger than all those billions and trillions of galaxies that we know about. His hand. And you're like, oh, God, are you going to come through with my bills? Oh, God, I got a cold. Oh, God, I got an exam. 300 trillion. 300 trillion. Just remember that next time, because it's so easy to get caught up in this and forget about this and about how awesome he is. When you take time to actually stop your praying and just gaze upon how awesome he is, it puts all of this in perspective. We get stuck up in this little stuff, and that's why we become full of ourselves. And well, God didn't come through with my paying bands. And when, did you look at him? Did you take time to seek him out? No, I don't think he exists anymore, because I'm all concerned about all this stuff, trying to figure all this out. Hello? You want to talk about art? I mean, yeah, thank the Lord for GOMA and the art galleries that we have here in Brisbane. But you want to talk about art? Go look at the Amazon jungle. Go look at photos of the Amazon jungle. Within 1 square mile of the Amazon jungle, there are over 3,000 species of trees. Just in 1 square mile. How's your painting looking like now? Monet. Van Gogh. And I mean, as great as our art is, he is magnificent. He is holy. That's the one you're with. Are you with me today? Are you tracking with me? Like, we actually need to take time, put life on pause, and just gaze at the wonder of who he is. See, it's so easy to bring that mentality even into ministry. And we think, oh, I've got to make disciples. Oh, how am I going to do it? I'm too shy to talk to that person. I don't know. Remember the one you're with. The one you're with empowers you to make disciples. But you forget about all of this. And all you can think about is how many likes you get on an Instagram post. Stressing out. I don't think people likes you. You know what? God likes you. Like the 300 trillion God, he likes you. He doesn't just love you. He likes you and your quirky ways. You and all your quirky ways, yes. He even likes, you know, the fact that you like that band that nobody else likes. Or everybody's too afraid to admit that they have the CD of that group. But you have it. Autographed. He likes that about you because you're, you know, that little quirky thing that you do. He likes that about you. He's interested in that. The God of all that is interested in you. That's the God that you're with. You ever take a moment to think about that? Think about this for a moment. I'm going to just look at this one verse. And many of you have heard me teach on this verse before. Or many of you have heard this verse before. This is one verse of a great psalm, Psalm 27. Highly encourage you to study that whole psalm written by King David, one of the Davidic psalms. And in verse 4, one of the most quoted verses from that psalm. It says here, "One thing I ask of the Lord, that which I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever, to gaze upon his beauty and inquire in his temple." So easy to just read through that. Many of you may have memorized it, but did you actually take time to put life on pause and actually chew on that verse? Now remember, this is one verse of thousands of verses in the Bible about God. Just one. I'm just picking one. And look at what this verse says about God and his character. Just one verse. Just one. "One thing I ask of the Lord" means that he's relational. You can actually ask him stuff. "One thing I ask of the Lord, that which I will seek after." So even David, the ultimate worshiper found in the Old Testament, is still seeking after this thing. He is unfathomable. You cannot get to the end of knowing God. David never got to the point where he goes, oh yeah, I've learned all there is to know about God. "That which I will seek after." So he's still searching it. He's still seeking it. He's still looking into the depths and the widths and the breadths of how awesome his God is. He's unfathomable. "That I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever." God desires to dwell with you. He's a live-in kind of God. He's not a visiting God. He doesn't expect you to, you know, you get certain people over at your house, right? And you know they're either visitors or dwellers. You know what I'm saying? Like sometimes they feel comfortable in your home and you feel comfortable having them in your home. Sometimes a little too comfortable, if you know what I mean. Oh, can I borrow this DVD? I haven't seen that one. You know, that sort of guy. But like, there's certain people, they walk into your house and then you have to have the finest of your china, your plates, and your nice cutlery out. You lock up all your bedrooms because that's where you stashed all the trash and all the stuff that your kids were playing with. At least that's what we do. And you put it in the bedroom and you lock it. And so that everybody sees this facade of how beautiful. And you tell your kids before they come, "We've got this code, kids, okay? We have enough food, but we know that these people might be hungry. So there's a code called FHB, Family Hold Back. Now, if they start eating more, I'm going to say FHB. And that means, kids, you control yourselves, okay? So that our guests can be well fed. Don't worry, we will go to McDonald's afterwards, okay? And so you're sitting there and you're acting all nice, you're drinking the, you know, oh, it's great, you know, you got your pinky up, you're 6'4", weigh this much, and you got your pinky up, you're drinking, oh yeah, and you're noticing your son is the one that's, you know, going for it, and you're like, FHB, FHB, you know, and you only use codes like that for people that you need to be polite, or polite around, because, you know, they it's their first impression of you, and so you're trying to make an impression on them. Trying to make sure that they have a good impression, because first impressions last. But you get comfortable around that person, and they come around 3 or 4 times. There's no more FHB anymore. You're coming out and for the sermons in here, ear lover lover. You just come out, you know, old school t-shirt with a rip down the middle of it. Hey, what's up, Bert? Yeah, Bert. Yeah, sure. You can, yeah, put your kids in my bedroom. Just excuse the trash. Actually, don't worry about it. Bring your trash too. And, you know, you're just so comfortable with them because those sorts of people are dwellers now. You feel comfortable around them. You feel comfortable around having them in your home. God doesn't want to visit you and you act all polite, religiously, feeling like you have to be on your best behavior. He wants to be a dweller. He wants, because we somehow get sucked into this whole thing of that God doesn't see us in our mess. Are you, like he's some old dude with Alzheimer's. Oh, I didn't know you had an addiction. I only saw you when you came to life group and to church. Oh, gosh. And we feel like, oh, I've got to speak proper and be all religious. Forget all that. He's a dweller. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever. To live there, you're going to have to use the bathroom if you live there. I'm going to move on because some of you are looking at me really uncomfortable with that point. That I may dwell. How many of you want to dwell in the house of the Lord forever? You know, I don't want to visit the house of the Lord. I want to dwell. And to dwell, in order to dwell, you need to be aware that he's going to see your funky stuff. And smell your funky stuff. And hear your funky stuff. Because I know how it is in here. You know, praise the Lord, hallelujah, you stub your toe. Oh, Buddha. You know, it's not Buddha, but I'm replacing the word with, you know, just saying. Dweller. To gaze upon his beauty. He's beautiful. As beautiful as your wife is, my brother. I'm sorry. She's made in the image of God. And he is the definition of beautiful. L'Oreal, because he's worth it. He is the difference. And when's the last time you gazed upon him? Because a lot of us just spend time glimpsing at him, not gazing at him. We're just like, oh yeah, God's there. Yeah, God. Wake up in the morning. Oh, Lord Jesus, we just pray that you would be with us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, quiet time, fun. Finished. When's the last time you gazed, like looked into his eyes and seen that magnificence of how beautiful, how awesome he is? If you haven't done that at all, here's my encouragement for you. Take some time. I mean, you know, if you can make time, I mean, he's only God. And ask somebody to take you to the top of Mount Kutha and look at how beautiful this city is. We live in a beautiful city, guys. And go on the Gold Coast down with Norm and Easter and just see the magnificence of the shores and the beaches before humans came and wrecked it and turned it into Miami. But, you know, just look at the beauty. Let me tell you something. It's hard to be an atheist when you live in Queensland. It's so beautiful. I came from Singapore. Me and my brother Adam and Joanna, we lived in Singapore. Singapore, everything that was beautiful about Singapore, and my sister Amy's here from Singapore. Everything that's beautiful about Singapore is man-made. There's not a tree planted in Singapore that was not planned as to where it would be planted. So when you live in Singapore for a long time, as great and as prosperous and as beautiful as that nation and as blessed it is, when you come here to the natural beauty, it's hard to even think for a moment that there is no God. You know what the issue is? We're not looking at how awesome he is. We're looking at our stuff. Our issues, our events, our schedules, our addictions, our stuff. And we just glimpse at God. Oh yeah, I know, I've got all this stuff to do. And God's here. Oh yeah, maybe I should pray. Lord, just pray you'll be with me and my stuff. He's like, look at me. Just look at me. Just gaze upon my beauty. Oh yeah, but I need to keep my eyes on my stuff. This is, again, it's just taking moments. I want to encourage you, take moments to gaze upon how beautiful he is. and inquire in his temple, meaning that he's all-knowing. You can take whatever issues you're dealing with and take them into the presence of the Lord. And though you may not get the answers that you want, you will get the peace that overcomes all of that concern, all of that worry. If you'll just take time to just look at him, listen to him. Some of us, when we get with God, we just need to shut up, to be honest. Kids are gone, so I can say shut up. We just need to be quiet and just listen to him. Some of us don't even let him have a word an inchwise. Again, guys, this is just one verse about God. We just get five stuffs about who he is. It's just one verse. Now, one thing I wanted to emphasize before, as we're winding this thing down, there's obviously many facets to the character of God, but one thing I wanted you to note in knowing who is with you is that the one who is with you is all-powerful. He's omnipotent. We forget that. We even make up theological truths, so to speak, to renounce the fact that he is a miraculous God. And we would say, okay, that's for that time, but this is not for this time. Let me tell you something. I've been around far too many miracles to deny that there is a God. Some of you in this room are miracles, are walking miracles. You know, that the God of all the universe would be interested in turning you around, getting you free from all your addictions and all of the things that bound you back. You were heading towards death, literal death, not just spiritual death, literal death before God snatched you out of hell and brought you into his kingdom. That's how powerful our God is. We forget about that. We forget that the God of the Bible and the God that lives in us and is with us is the God who's able to heal the blind, raise people from the dead. He's able to grow limbs out. And we think that in our logic and looking at how awesome we are, we forget how powerful he is. And I just wanted to close just by emphasizing this quality, because I feel like God wants to reawaken this in your Christianity, in your walk with him. This is our God. Now, moving to Acts' last words from Jesus before Jesus ascended into heaven, as he was talking to his disciples, this is his final sentence. And he says, but you will receive power. Everybody say power. And wake your neighbor up. I know it's Sunday afternoon. Wake your neighbor up and say, you will receive power. Come on, say it like a black preacher. Say, you will receive power. Now, check this out. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Judea, in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So there's this gradual outwardness when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You start to think outwardly. You will receive power. It's funny because without the Holy Spirit, there is no power. There's no power in your disciple making. There's no power in your evangelism. There's no power in your witness. Have you ever seen somebody flowing in what God's called them to, and they don't even need to say a word? You just see them just going about their business, and you're like, there's something different about the way that they're walking. There's something different about the way that they're living. Have you ever seen somebody who used to be one way, but then the power of the Holy Spirit showed up, and then they're just totally, I mean, not even like a makeover, but like the Holy Spirit touched their lives, and they're just different. I mean, obviously free from all the stuff that used to bind them, but now they're different. There's a difference in their appearance. There's a difference in their speech. You just look at them and go, wow. Somebody's or something is with them. Let me tell you, one of the pertinent qualities, and Jesus would highlight this particular characteristic of the Holy Spirit as he's about to leave, remembering that last words are important. And so if he was to say, you will receive power, he could have said, you will receive holiness, and you do receive holiness. You will receive grace, or you will receive strength, or you will receive joy. But what did he highlight? You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So that's Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 2, obviously the Holy Spirit pours out his power upon the disciples. And these guys, who were so timid, I mean, Peter, before Jesus died, was all like, yeah, well, I'll never deny who you are. I'll never deny who you are. Jesus, I'm your boy. We boys, we go way back. And then he's with these people. Are you with Jesus? No, I don't know him. And then this other guy comes up to him. But we saw you with him. No, I don't know who he was. But they caught you on the camera. It wasn't me. You know, he's all like, no, it wasn't me. I don't know who's this Jesus? He denies him. That same God, I mean, that same Peter is the same Peter we find in Acts chapter 2. And in Acts chapter 2, he preaches from the obscure book of Joel. Now, when's the last time you preached from the book of Joel or you read the book of Joel? He preaches from Joel, the timid guy, the ashamed guy. Preaches from the book of Joel, 3,000 people get saved. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. That's not Mr. Timid over there. It's not Shaggy over there. It's Peter, who is anointed with the power of the Holy Spirit. So he goes about that, his business, and then he's with another disciple, and they're hanging out at the gate, and they see this lame guy in Acts chapter 3, and the lame guy's like, oh, you know, can you give me some money? And he basically says to this lame guy, you know, silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give to you. Get up and walk. The lame guy who's been lame for many years gets up at this gate and starts walking. Now, many of you are looking at me and as if, oh, that's a pretty story, Pastor Nelly. That's nice for those times. But let me tell you, I refuse to be the sort of Christian that denies that the same God of timid Peter is the same God in me. The same God of all those disciples in the book of Acts that committed themselves towards miracles and signs and wonders and healing and powerful evangelism under the guidance of the Holy Spirit is the same God who lives in me. It's the same God of Nelly Atinga. Same God of you. So you have a choice. Do you look at God this way? Which is good to study about God, but how well do you know God and the glorious nature of who he is? Because when you get this sort of connection, connected with this sort of connection, it's amazing the power that you will walk in. See, people tried to copy it. It was so powerful that there was this group of guys called the Seven Sons of Sceva. Sounds like an R&B group, I know. Seven Sons of Sceva. Mama, you know I love you. So the Seven Sons of Sceva basically went up to this demoniac, this guy with demons, and they said, in the name of Jesus, who Paul preaches, come out. And the demoniac, the guy with the demons, basically says, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? He probably didn't say it like that. It was, Jesus I know. Paul, I know, but you are not the precious. You know, he didn't know them. And the Bible says that the demons entered in to the R&B group, the Seven Sons of Sceva, and they started to basically tear themselves apart. That's what it's like if you don't know God and try to move out in his power. You become susceptible to all sorts of demonic attack, and you wonder why you're going through that stuff with the focus being on the stuff rather than the one you're with. Who are you with today? Who are you with today? I just wanted to, we're going to close with this. I wanted to show you this video. This is a video I just got over WhatsApp last week. So a good friend of mine, is based in our Vietnam church with Pastor Mike in Ho Chi Minh. And so he invited a group from our church in Singapore, our ENCS church, and a group of them got together as friends, and they decided, this is just a group of friends. This was not like an official, like, church-initiated missions team. This was a team that of friends who just decided, hey, I feel like the Lord's leading us to go to Hanoi. And so my friend joined them from Ho Chi Minh, and a group from our church in Singapore, the church that myself and Amy attended back in Singapore, they decided, hey, let's just get together, let's raise our money, and let's go over there, and let's see what the Lord does. And so my friend was with them, and he was filming this. His girlfriend is in this scene of this video. If you can just get the video ready, please, Bianca. This video is the second video. We don't have time to show the first, but the second video of a man that they were led to. They were just basically walking around, just praying in tongues, just seeing who God would lead them to. And God led them to this particular man. And in the first video that I have, well, unfortunately we don't have time to show it, they lead him to the Lord. He's basically been crippled, has not been able to walk for since birth. So years and years of not knowing the feeling of walking. And so they thought it was awesome that they were able to lead him to Christ. And he gives his life to Christ. And so they were happy with that. And my friend's girlfriend, who's also a good friend of Tina's and myself, whom you'll see in this video, her name is Anne, and she felt like the Holy Spirit wasn't done. So remember, this is a backdrop. She starts to pray for the man for his healing. He's never experienced walking before. So go ahead and play the video. Guys, these aren't pastors. These aren't full-time ministers. My friend Anne on the right there, she's a corporate consultant. These all of those guys are friends. They're from Singapore. They're Singaporeans and Filipinos. They're not Vietnamese. They crossed over into a land that wasn't theirs, believing in the power of the one that they're with, and just simply were led by the Lord to believe that he would do it. Same God. Same goal of Paul and Peter is your God. He's our God. And it's that sort of power when you take time to just gaze upon how awesome he is. You realize the one you're with. And that he is able to do that. Let's just stand to our feet as we prepare to close today. I have that word up on the screen on purpose. Because I'm believing that God wants to reintroduce himself to us and who he is. And he wants to also reawaken us to the fact that he is powerful. I'm just going to give us an opportunity. I'm just going to pray a short prayer and just give us a short time to respond. Again, as we do every Sunday, this front area here in this room is an altar. And basically, I'm going to give you the opportunity to respond, just to say, I'm putting away all of my inhibiting thoughts towards who God may be. And you're allow him to tear the limits off of who he is in your life. Recognizing that you're going to take time to gaze upon his beauty, his magnificence, his power, the one that you're with. If that's you today, I just want you, I'm gonna pray a short prayer, and then I'm gonna give you the opportunity just to come out from where you are and come up the front here as a sign to say, God, I want that. I want to reconnect with you, the God who is awesome, the God who is powerful, the God who is beautiful. And I want to repent of taking things on board myself. Lord, in Jesus' name, I pray, God, as we prepare this altar as a place where we can offer ourselves as living sacrifices, I pray, Lord, for Holy Spirit, for an awareness of who you are. You are alive today. We sang it at the top of the service. You are alive in us. Nothing can take your place. You're all we need. Your love sets us free. And so today, we come expectant. Lord, tear the limits off. Tear that glass ceiling off of our expectations of who you are. Thank you, God, as you reintroduce yourself to us. In Jesus' name, just come out from where you are. We're just going to pray for those who would respond today. It's awesome. Come out from where you are. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. We're not going to pray. prolong this too long. So if you want to respond, just come forward now. So I know that the service has already gone long with all the events in it, but I just want to give you this opportunity. Please don't leave here just looking at God from a distance. This is your opportunity to respond. Come expectant for His power to flow in and through you. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I just pray for these ones who have responded, God. Father, I pray for a tenderizing of hearts today, Lord God. An awareness, Holy Spirit, of your presence that goes with them. I pray, Lord, you flood them with your Holy Spirit. Flood their hearts, flood their lives. Allow them, enable them to take moments, take time to gaze upon who you are. I pray right now, Lord, for an eradication of every ounce of anxiety, every ounce of fear that will try to come in our way. Lord Jesus, we thank you that the one who holds all power is with us today, Lord God. Father, we thank you that you are alive in 2015, Lord God. Father, I pray, God, that you would anoint my sisters. Lord, enable them to see you for who you are. Cause them to make moments in their schedules to put life on pause. And enable a new awareness of this power, of this majesty, of this magnificence, Lord God. Father, I pray for a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit, God. A fresh baptism, fresh anointing, Lord, of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, anoint them afresh today, Lord God. Sing this. He loves us. Oh, how He loves us. Oh, how He loves us. Oh, how He loves. Come on, sing that more than just a song. Receive that. He loves us. Oh, how He loves. Time. I want you to sing it directly to him. Sing, you love me. You love me. Oh, how you love me. Oh, how you love me. Oh, how you love. One more time from your heart. Say, you love. We receive your love today. You love me. You love. Let's all just lift our hands to the Lord and just pray God's anointing, God's blessing on us as we leave this place. Father, I pray for every single person in here, God. For every single person in here, I pray that you would reintroduce yourself afresh to every single person here, God. Father, awaken within us a desire to pursue after you. Lord, when we see you for who you are, we see life in the perspective that we should see life in, God. Help us to see that the things of this world are nothing compared to who you are. Help us to see our lives in rectification and in glorification of who you are, God. Father, align our spirits, align our lives to reflect your glory. Father, anoint us afresh, Lord God. And I pray, Lord, throughout this week that you'd give us moments when we can put life on pause. Lord, as much as things grab for our attention, Lord God, whether it's social media or children or just work, sport and stuff, Lord God, Father, we pray that we would be able to have our attention grabbed by your Holy Spirit in all things. We repent, Lord God, for being a people at times that we allow other things to vie for our attention. And Lord, today, we choose to fix our gaze upon you. Lord, we declare today with David, But the one thing that we ask, that which we will seek after, is to dwell in the house of the Lord forever, to gaze upon your beauty and inquire in your temple. We love you today, God, in Jesus' name. Everyone said amen. Go ahead and give God some praise. Those of you who are up the front, you can continue to pray, but we're going to dismiss at this time. Hey, have a great week. Mother's Day is not over, so make sure your wives and your mothers get flooded with blessing, okay? All right, don't make me call names out. God bless you. You're dismissed.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.